Can say tonight, I know that he's good. I know. I don't think he's good. I know he's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. All right, we got first, second, third, fourth string musicians, and it's nice that we have so much talent that we can pull on here tonight. We're thankful for that. We have a lot of people still traveling, so we want to remember them in prayer, keep them in prayer, and. Did I hear that Nathan broke a bone today? Was that announced? Or? No. Well, it should be. You broke your and you're here. Broke his ankle on Monday. My goodness. We pray for a speedy recovery for sure. God bless you. You probably don't know it, but a few weeks ago, Brother Henry had eye surgery, major eye surgery, and came in that evening to service. Couldn't see, but he could hear. He didn't come to see, he came to hear. We're believing, Brother Henry. We're believing with you. Yeah, we serve a living God. Amen. We're so thankful to have Brother and Sister Schreiner with us tonight. When we heard that they were coming out to, it was told us right up front they were coming out to enjoy a little R&R and celebrate their anniversary. And so they'd be coming out on a Monday, leaving on a Friday. And so I thought, well, I could invite them to minister for us, but that wouldn't be much rest. I know it isn't for me, because the day before you're preparing, and then the day that you minister, and then the day after you're not worth much. So, and then Monday and Friday are travel days. So I thought, I love him too much to ask him, but we will demand a rematch. So, we would like to have you come out and minister for us when it's not a vacation. It'll be work. And we don't apologize for that. And appreciate you and your wife and your gift. Thank you it's kind of an honor that they would come to our town to, we go somewhere else when we want to get away. but we live here, so. And you lived here at one time, right? Or in Phoenix, right? Or grandmother did, right? Okay, so you have ties. Yeah, well, you have more ties here now, so praise the Lord. Sure is heartbreaking what took place with our sister Reynolds, and just tears your heart out. 16 years young, must have just started driving, I'm guessing, and don't know any of the details, but, I had a scripture that came on my heart, and then the Lord put a message on my heart to listen to today, and as I'm listening to the message, the scripture that was on my heart was what Brother Brown took as a text, and I've been praying about, I'm always am about what to bring, but just in particular what we specifically need in the body right now, and so Brother Branham and the beginning of the message, greatest battle ever fought, he said he and his wife got woke up. There was a call. He was told that Sister Shepherd, who was a friend of Sister Bell's, was in the hospital, was in need of prayer. So he said they got up out of bed. They got down and prayed for her and then went back to bed. And I don't know if it was the next day. I don't know how soon it was, but it turns out that the story wasn't right. How the telephone can do those things. And it turns out it was Sister Shepherd was Sister Bell's friend, and Sister Shepherd was probably the one that was calling on Sister Bell's behalf. And so Sister Bell had a gallbladder issue, or regular doctor was out of town, so they took her into surgery, and she didn't survive the surgery. And Brother Branham said, you know, if I'd have known about it, I'm sure that we would have went over to the hospital and prayed for her and what have you. He said, but this is how it was supposed to be. He said, the Lord knew that I would have prayed for her, but it was her time. Right? So, it's, you know, we aren't making light of this. My heart aches. I just can't imagine. But I believe God. And I trust that it was her time. And she's a Christian, so, you know, it certainly could have been a worse story than that. It's bad enough, but we have a hope. So we just want to keep that family in prayer. And as you know, Brother Reynolds ministered for us. We had him out for some youth services and in a Sunday service, and we think a lot of him. He's helps Brother Mike at the church there in Hardy, Arkansas. So, you know, when one part of the body hurts, the rest hurts. So certainly want to remember them in prayer. Now, Sunday night we spoke on a clear conscience. Tonight we'd like to speak on a word-directed conscience. So if you wouldn't mind standing, read from 1 Peter chapter 1. Start at the 13th verse. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, that's kind of a strange saying, isn't it? Gird up the loins of your mind. But that, he's saying that's where your strength is. You know, gird up the strength of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, in other words, all of us are going to have to give an account. This isn't a group type thing, as we've been mentioning over and over in the last few services. It's not us and God, it's you and God. So it doesn't matter how slothful somebody else might be, that's no excuse for you. Or me. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, not fear as in torment, but we ought to be sober. We ought to be watchful. We ought to, not be playing around, but be serious. It's a serious time. For as much as ye know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now, friends, what good would it do to foreordain something if it's not going to fulfill something? So if the lamb was foreordained, so are those that the lamb was going to redeem. God's not rolling dice here or taking chances. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower withereth. thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, okay, I just skipped a verse here. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. I wondered where that went, so I copied it and pasted it a second time in my notes. First Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's not a lion, but he sure is acting like one. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads, Lord, our hearts ache at the, Lord, the pain that our brothers and sisters in Arkansas are going through right now with the, and Lord, there are other families that are involved, and Lord, we know that as our brother prayed here earlier, we're just getting a glimpse of what you go through, Lord, and the price that you paid and the pain that it caused you to give us Christ. So Lord, we know that all things work together for good, and we know that there's a purpose in everything. We know that there's suffering in this life, and we know that there's supposed to be suffering, and we know that suffering is what produces the peaceable fruit. It's what brings forth that character. And Lord, you've set it up that way, and it doesn't the suffering doesn't change us or bring out bad attributes. It actually brings Christ out in our lives. And so, Lord, we just ask that your comfort and strength would be with the family, with the church, with Lord, all those that are affected this day, Lord. And Father, may even lives be touched, and may decisions be made, may family members be brought in through this tragedy, Lord. May good come from this, we pray. Father, we trust you and we love you, and Lord, as Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we just commit everything in your hands now. Father, we just ask that you would anoint your word once again and bless us, Lord, as we hear your word. And Father, may it become life. May it be something not that we just heard, Lord, but something that's lived when we leave. And we give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. So we've been looking at God's choice and how all of us came into this earth in a fallen condition. And we all had a worldly soul when we came to this world, which is the soul is the nature of your spirit. And we know that we are made up of three distinct parts as human beings. We have a flesh body, and our flesh body has five senses that contact the world around us. And we have a spirit that has certain pre-programmed characteristics to it. And we didn't choose the body that we came to this earth in, and we didn't choose what kind of a spirit that we would have. It was all determined ahead of time. Why does predestination then surprise us? What choice did we have in this? You know, and that's the problem that that the Pentecostals had when the word was coming. You know, they struggled with predestination and foreknowledge, but you didn't have any, you know, and their biggest beef was, well, what about my choice? Well, which one of you chose to be here? Which one of you chose what body? What kind of a spirit that you would have? None of us did. It was already, the choice had already been made. So the spirit has a certain makeup to it, which we call a temperament. And the spirit has programmed likes and dislikes, and your temperament determines whether you're outgoing or whether you're talkative or whether you're a deep thinker, you're reserved by nature, and so on. And then there's the soul that's at the very center of our being, And that is the nature of our spirit. And every one of us, born of a union between a man and a woman, is born with a worldly nature because of the sin Adam and his wife committed in the garden. And that worldly nature is an unbelieving nature. You were born an unbeliever. And that worldly nature is at enmity with God and never sought God at any time. It is selfish. It is dishonest. It cannot be trusted. And it cannot rightly divide right from wrong. And it can be deceived. And it was born deceived. It cannot know the true motives and objectives and intents of the heart. And it is in a union with the devil. And it is accountable when it reaches the age of accountability. Sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? So we looked at how that God chose his children before the worlds were even formed, and how he chose his family from within himself. And at the appointed time, he called you and he showed you that you were born in sin, that you needed a savior, and you detested your first nature, and you cried out for deliverance, expressing sorrow for your sinful nature, and you repented of your sin and obeyed the word, and you were baptized in Christian baptism, and you chose to allow your first nature to be killed. It's not alive somewhere, it's dead. And it must be dead because Christ cannot marry someone that's been married before. It must be dead. It can't just be divorced from the old husband because the old husband would have to be dead and Satan's still alive. So that old nature has to die. You can't have two natures at the same time. The old nature must die, and you choose, there's your choice. And when it died, you were actually without a nature while his spirit wooed over you and then quickened that seed gene that was down on the inside of you laying there dormant. You can live without a soul. Animals do. They have a spirit. They have flesh. We have a spirit. We have flesh. But we also have a soul. So that nature has to die first before the other one can be quickened. And he quickened in you your nature that came from him and then came to, and then he came down to dwell in you in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you became a new creature. It's not figurative. It's not sort of. But you literally, what's living inside of you was not alive before, and what died is no longer alive. So you are actually a different person. Your old man was crucified, as Paul said, and eternal life is now living in you. So your new nature has different desires than the nature that you were first born with. So this is not reform school. It's not conforming, but it's a transformation that takes place. It's not the remaking of something that's already in you, but it's the killing of something and the quickening of something else. And your new nature believes. Your new nature has different desires than the old nature that you were born with. And your new nature believes. It believes the word of God. And your new nature cannot be deceived because the word is now in you, controlling you, leading you, guiding you, motivating you. And it is the word. You are a partaker of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, the word, and you have passed from death unto life. There's a part of you that is already raptured. There's a part of you that's ready to meet your maker. But there's a part of you that still needs a change. So your old nature is dead, not just divorced from its first husband, but dead. The soul that sinneth must die. It's dead. And the deeds of your first nature have been put in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Now, friends, this only fits one way. It's like a puzzle. It only fits one way. Your new nature, on the other hand, is not forgiven. It has nothing to be forgiven for. It believes. It is sinless. It cannot sin. It is born of the seed incorruptible, the Word of God. There's no sin in it. It came from God. It'll go back to God. That new part of you, which is the real you that was quickened in the new birth, never did it to begin with. It's not forgiven. It never did it. The old nature did. The old nature died. And the deeds of the old nature that were written in the book of life were put in the sea of forgetfulness. And so now you can put those things behind you and press forward towards the mark, the high calling of Christ. So we're not, no, we haven't lost our mind, though we are trying to in a sense, but we haven't lost our mind and we're not lying. We're not saying, well, I never did it. We know that this flesh was guilty. We know that it was being led of another nature and it's complicit. We know that there were deeds that took place in this flesh, but those deeds have been taken care of. They've been wiped out. Amen. Never to be brought up again. And the old nature is dead. So the new nature now takes control by the Word, and it takes control of the flesh, and it takes control of the Spirit, because something must control you as it feeds on the Word of God. But until our flesh receives its change, our spirit and our flesh are still subject to temptation of the enemy. And it is essential that we recognize that. We absolutely must recognize that. And it's needful, as we've been going through this series from the three parables of the plan of redemption, of the lost coin that was a coin and then it was found, it didn't become a coin, it was a coin, the lost sheep that when it was found, it was a sheep, and the prodigal son, he was a son when he was lost, he's a son when he was found. Hallelujah. And the older brother represents your body that you're taking to a change, and the younger brother represents the part of you that's been born again, and been a ring's been put on your finger, and the best robe has been put on you, and shoes on your feet, and the fatted calf has been killed for you. So it's essential that we recognize this. It's needful for us to learn that it was God's choice and not our own that placed that gene seed down on the inside of us when we came here to the earth. It's not preached into you. It's either in you or it isn't in you. If your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, it's speaking of that gene, and that gene then comes, it's waiting for the right season, time, and hour, the right bed to be planted. You couldn't have been planted in Luther's day because the light of Luther's day never would have woke up that gene. It needed an evening light. It needed a certain kind of a light. So you were foreordained for this age, this hour. And then God came and quickened that gene that was down inside of you. And guess what? You didn't have a choice. It's His choosing. He chose. Oh, you're taking away my choice. What choice did Jesus have? He said, well, He had a choice. Sure He did. When He went, He said, Lord, here's my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Right? But really, if you think about it, He came from God. What other choice would He make? Otherwise, you've got God predestinating you and you making a different choice. Can't happen. Because of who you are, you'll make that choice. But you can't even make that choice except He first chose you. And this is what chokes up the legalists. That free will, that free moral agency that we were born with. Oh, it wants to have its own head. So it's needful that we learn that it was God's choice. Now, you don't preach that to a sinner. You don't tell them, well, you know, God chose you from before the foundation of the world. No, you tell them, you know what? You're a sinner. You're a low-down, good-for-nothing, lying, cheating. And if they hump up against that, they're not ready for repentance. But if they get broken and realize, you know what, I'm a mess. Whatever I try to do, I make a mess of. I can't lead myself. I don't know where I came from. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what the purpose is in my life. I'm not comfortable in this world. I'm not comfortable with, but I can't stop myself maybe from doing this or doing that. And then the Lord draws you and the Lord says, well, that's because you're not of this world. He brings you to repent. You can't come except He first draws you. And He draws you. You never sought Him at any time. You didn't come to a church service and say, well, I made up my mind that I was going to give my heart to the Lord. No. If He didn't draw you, you would never would have come. Now, it doesn't seem that way at the time. Because you don't know that. But these things we learn after. Brother Bram said in the Ephesians series, he says, now you can look back and see you never were lost to begin with. Now you can look back and say, I didn't become a son of God when I came down to an old-fashioned altar. What happened was I came to the recognition that I was a son. Hallelujah. So we still have to agonize. We still have to make our calling and election sure. We still have to press. But because of who you are, you will do that. And if that seed is in you and it's quickened by the Holy Spirit, you cannot fail. You cannot sin. You're going to make mistakes in the flesh, but in the soul, you believe. You're no longer an unbeliever. You believe and you can't be deceived. Because that gene seed that's in you is part of God. And it's part of the Word. It was a thought. It became a word. Now it's flesh. Now some of you, instead of being encouraged by this, you're discouraged. We're going to deal with that tonight. We're going to show you why. Because you're still living in a mental realm. It's needful that we recognize that it is a thought of God that became Word of God that then was manifested in flesh. And the Word cannot fail. It came from God. It'll go back to God. It'll accomplish what it was sent here to do. And it's the real you that you're getting acquainted with. Problem is, we're so acquainted with the old nature that we want to try to tag that guy along, but he's dead. Your old buddies will try to dig him up. He's dead. He stinks. Don't go there. And the Lord will bring that gene seed to maturity and will manifest what it was sent here to do. And He will ensure that it feeds on the living Word for this hour and that it comes to maturity. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we need to know this by faith. And it is us recognizing who we are and who our Father is and what belongs to us and what we are sent here for. So we must have this confidence. This confidence in Him. It's not in ourselves, it's in Him. Or we will not be able to mature in Him. All fear is gone. The idea that we could be saved one day, lost the next, saved the next day, he said it's settled. Brother Bram said that in the Hebrew series, or the Ephesians series. He said Paul wanted to just knock that idea out of the box. Our position is clear. Our inheritance is clear. And our security is established, and it must be established. Otherwise, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 9 on Sunday night, otherwise we can't come boldly before the throne. Because we're still questioning who we are, whether we have a right to be there. If you're born, if you're a seed of God, born again, born of His Spirit, you have every right to come to the throne. You're not a servant, you're not a slave, and you're not a misfit. You're a new creation. Hallelujah. Yes, this part still needs to be changed. But that part that's in you has already been changed. Hallelujah. So we must have that confidence. And that's what eliminates our fear. The idea that we could be saved one day, lost the next. Hallelujah. Our point of origin is determined. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, that's when you cry, Father, Father. You cry that by revelation because you realize, you know what? I came from you. You're my father. Hallelujah. So our point of origin is clear now and our destination is clear. But then the real battles of life just begin. Even as they are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. And the battleground that was chosen, was a chosen place for this battle to take place, is in the spirit realm or the mind. I'm going to preach now. And whether we fight back or not, the battle's going to come. And the only way to overcome and to be victorious is to use the weapons that God has provided for us in the face of our enemy. The soul is the nature of the spirit, and it has been quickened, and the old nature is dead. But the battle still rages within us until the body change delivers us from this pest house. Satan tempts. Satan has access to the spirit realm. Satan has access to the flesh realm. He's the father of it. Satan reasons. Now, he doesn't have the right, he doesn't own the title to it any longer because the title search has been done. And our Redeemer has redeemed all that belongs to us. He hasn't claimed it yet, but he's redeemed it. So Satan is just squatting right now, and we have to remind him, look, you're living in a house that don't belong to you anymore. Somebody ought to listen tonight. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. So the battle still rages. Satan tempts you. Satan whispers to you. Satan reasons with you. And we have to be able to recognize our enemy and his tactics. We now hear the voice of our bridegroom as he speaks to us in our soul. But we have to also recognize other voices. There's another voice that seeks to tempt us and to try our faith in God. And that is why we are so concerned about people missing church. Friends, I could care less about an attendance record or gold stars or whatever, but it's essential. The only reason we're here is to hear the word. And without the word, we will be defeated. Because the only thing that will defeat the enemy is the word. This is God's provided way. And so that's why we're concerned. We're not beating anybody down. We're not being critical. In fact, we're just saying, come up a little higher. I know the battle's hot and heavy, and I know how the devil can play with your mind. But I'm here to play with the devil tonight. I'm here to take the word and remind the devil that he doesn't have any rights. That he's defeated. The only way we can defeat our enemy is by the word. And it is the greatest weapon that God could have given us. And it's the only weapon that will defeat the enemy. And all the power that is needed is already in the living word. We don't have to do anything to make that word do what it was sent to do. But we do have to hear the word. And that means we need to come together to hear the word. Which is why we are here together. Many young Christians or new Christians at whatever age, they struggle early on because they have not learned the difference between their own thoughts and their own intentions and those of the enemy. We were once married to the world, so we know all about it. All of us were. And our thoughts were worldly, naturally. But since you've been born again, you don't have the same desires. There's a different nature down on the inside of you. But the enemy, you have the same spirit. If you were outgoing, you're still outgoing. If you like to hunt, you still like to hunt. If you're shy, you're still shy. Your temperament didn't change. The rough edges are getting knocked off. The ungodly part of it is getting... The nature of it is different. So the enemy will still try to reason with you and will still try to condemn you and will still point out your failures. And that's why it's essential to realize, no, you're talking about the old man. And I don't argue. That guy is a sinner.
He does deserve death. And those were the deeds. But God is not looking at those. They're in the sea of his forgetfulness, and I'm not relating to him either. I'm not gonna miss it. This is not a hope walk. It's a faith walk. And a faith walk is an I know walk. Hallelujah. Since you've been born again, you don't have the same desires. But the enemy is going to try to convince you otherwise. And you have to start learning to know your enemy. If he can, he'll convince you that the temptations that he's bringing your way are actually your desires and your thoughts. But they're not. They may look like thoughts that you used to have. And therefore, you're all of a sudden ashamed. Right? But it wasn't your thought. Jesus was tempted in the same way. And it certainly wasn't his thought. He was tempted in all ways. Yet, he did not sin. So temptation is not sin. But the devil wants to convince you that that's still your desire. But it isn't. He's working on your mind. He's working on the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. You say, I've been born again. My flesh doesn't have any lust. Oh, right. How do you do it in an all-you-can-eat restaurant? You mean your flesh says, okay, I'll behave. No, your flesh says, just let me at it. But something in you has to say, no, I'm in charge. I'm the one that has to suffer through the acid reflux. So the enemy will try to reason with you. We'll try to get you to believe that temptation is sin. And then he'll say, you might as well go ahead and do it. You're guilty of it already. And then he says, and you call yourself a Christian. Once he convinces you by reasoning to accept that, then he condemns you. Tells you, you might as well go ahead and do it. You're guilty. Right? You know you wanted to do that. But it's a lie. You need to know this. How do you know it's a lie? It's coming in the reasoning realm. The word doesn't say that. Oh, we're going to preach here in just a moment. It's a lie. It's not what you really, down on the inside, want to do. You've been changed. And you need to believe that by faith. With all of your heart. No reasoning. That's why these people that are looking for science to prove something, you have no proof. Science can't prove you've been born again. This is a faith walk. We're living in a treacherous time of where reasoning has been exalted to such a high level. You've been changed, and you need to believe that. And that's why we've been going through this first part. So what are we trying to tell you this evening? Sunday night, we spoke about having a clear conscience. If our hearts condemn us not. And that's the result of a death and a birth. You are not lying. When that part of you that's born again, when you say he never did it. And that there's no sin in me. And I no longer call myself a sinner. That's the balance. That's how you put 1 John 1 with 1 John 3. 1 John 1 says if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. Well, that's you before you've been born again. You are a sinner. And if you say you aren't, you're a liar. 1 John 3 says if you've been born again of the word, there's no sin in you. You're not a sinner. You do not commit sin. So how do you put the two together? It's two different people. Glory to God. And that part of you that's been born again can't fail. I don't know about that. That's the devil talking to you. You've been changed. And you need to believe by faith with all of your heart. And not at all with reasoning. So we spoke Sunday night about having a clear conscience, which is the result of a death and a birth. But now we need to focus on filling that conscience with something else. Because it will be filled with something. It's going to listen to a voice. It needs to be directed. And that something else is the Word, which is the very mind of Christ. Friends, coming to hear the Word ought to be number one on your list. It ought to be higher than anything else. That's what's getting you out of here. We need to focus on filling our conscience with His thoughts. And when that Word comes in our mind and then in our soul, it's then Christ the Word that's fighting our battle and not our reasoning. If you meet the devil on his grounds, on human reasoning, emotion, memories, affection, your intelligence, you are going to lose, buddy. Every time. You have not been equipped, neither will you ever be equipped to do battle with him with your five senses of your mind. Don't go there. But that's the problem. Well, I'm struggling to believe this. Well, what are you feeding on? Well, I feel so inadequate. Who told you you are? What are you feeding on? Who are you listening to? Obviously, you're believing a lie. If you've been born again, you've been born again. Quit listening to a lie. Well, how do I reprogram? You've got to stay in that Word. It means more than life to you. It was eating that caused the sin. It's eating that's getting us out of it. Glory to God. So we need to focus on filling that conscience with something else that can defeat our enemy. Because he has access to your mind. And you have not been equipped to do battle with him with your five natural senses of your mind. Your weapon is the Word. And you will only overcome by it is written. Jesus demonstrated that for us. He never tried to defeat the devil with his memory, with his intelligence, with how he could trip him up, with reasoning. But it is written. It is written. It is written. And not the dead letter. We're not talking about the dead letter or creeds or dogmas or church rules. The devil laughs at that stuff. There's no life in it. But the devil must obey the living Word. The Word that's been quickened in our day. And God has sent to you ministering spirits to minister to you the Word to overcome your enemy. And you ought to say, thank you, Lord. And those spirits are in human flesh. And those spirits are heard when they preach the anointed Word to you by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Paul puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. He says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You say, oh, that's angels. Well, the word angel is used in the English language. It's used so many different ways, but that's not an angel with wings. Because angels with wings don't preach the gospel. Hallelujah. They are not ministering to you. Paul calls them angels, but actually he doesn't call it that, but that was the English translation of it. Messengers, but ministering spirits. Angelic beings don't preach the gospel. Man does. So let's look at our weapons of warfare here for just a moment. I don't plan to keep you long tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, not part of it, all of it, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not after against flesh and blood. Then why are so many church decisions based on flesh and blood? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And Brother Branham said, this is that day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's your strength. The truth is your strength. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. He's our righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, how do you get that shield of faith? It comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word. Which means you got to come to church. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench some, most, a few, all the darts, all the fiery darts. Oh, they come with fire. They sting. It'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He'll throw a dart and you don't say how. And he says, okay, I guess that didn't work. Let me try something else. See, he doesn't know what'll work on you. Because you've been born again. You have a new nature. And now you're hid in Christ. So he's throwing it at Christ. Right? And when you react, he says, oh, there you are. Okay, I'll just tell him he's not worthy. And, you know, I'll keep him from, I'll keep him living below his privileges. You know, he's still looking at his first birth saying, I'm not worthy. Settle that. Your first birth isn't worthy. Done. Well, some of you are just sitting there. Well, I don't know about this. It's got a break on you. I'm not speaking to your brain and you're trying to run it through your brain. That's the problem. Your soul, you got to open it up. You got to push your reasoning aside long enough for your soul to say, amen. But your soul doesn't have a chance if your mind says, now wait a minute. I'm going to be careful whether I say amen to that or not. Trust your soul. Well, I haven't had any proof. What proof does your soul need? The evidence is the faith that drops in. There's your evidence. It's the faith of things that are not seen. I'm not trying to speak to your mind tonight. I'm trying to get your mind out of the way. It's all that reasoning that got us in trouble to begin with. God's not going to use that reasoning to get you out of trouble. Oh, faith is so much higher than reasoning. We're living in such a reasoning hour. And take the helmet of salvation. We've been preaching the helmet of salvation here for weeks. That helmet of salvation is what protects your mind. I never did it to begin with. The old man is dead. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. The new man, his name is in another section. The Lamb's Book of Life. And that name can never be taken off. Well, I'm not sure about this. That's because you're not born again. Once you're born again, your spirit will bear witness with his spirit that you are sons and daughters of God. And if you are sons and daughters of God, you'll be there. He won't lose one of his children, not one. And he'll get a few of the devil's kiddies along the way. He won't lose one. There you go again. You're picking on me. I'm trying to batter down that brain of yours. I'm trying to work on that reasoning part of you. That part of you that humps up, gets mad, does this, does that. How's that working out for you? Faith is a different thing altogether. Oh, it's peace. Oh, it's rest. It's blessed assurance. Hallelujah. I don't trust this mind. If my reasoning lines up with the Word of God, okay, I'll take it. But if it don't, I'll take the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, not in your brain, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So when we are united together as a body in faith, there's no devil in hell that can prevail against us. There shouldn't be any sickness in this body. So it's no wonder that the devil will do his best to work on our minds and to drive wedges between us. Listen, friends, when we leave here, our human spirit leaves us and never returns. So that human spirit that you're dealing with right now is something that's in time. And if we hadn't bypassed our theophany, you never would have had a human spirit. Amen. So that's where reasoning, imagination, memories, and so forth, that's where they take place, is in the spirit realm. But the word endureth forever. That part's going with you. So we all need to guard our spirit so that the enemy has no place in us at all. Now, friends, we should be mature enough now to know that the devil will try to get us to look strangely at one another. And it's the word doesn't say the things that the devil's telling you about one another. The only thing we have is the word. If it's not in the word, forget it. He didn't mean it. It only looks that way. Or forgive him. He's had a tough day. Whatever it might be. But don't go into that reasoning realm. You'll lose. So we all need to guard that spirit so that the enemy has no place in us. He wants to fill your mind with lies. He wants to fill your mind with reasoning. He wants to fill your mind with memories and imagination and work off of those things. He wants to tell you, well, you know, you were pretty happy and you were pretty sure of yourself and you were testifying that you were born again of the Spirit, but I don't know about that. Well, he did the same thing to Jesus. So why do you think you're special? He said, if thou be the Son of God. What is that? It's a battle. It's the greatest battle ever fought, and it's waging hot and heavy tonight. It's the hottest that it's ever been, but we got more word in this hour than at any other time to defend us. So you have to recognize that and get out of your doldrums. Quit allowing the devil to kick you around. Get rid of that complex that you've built. You did it. Amen. And you're convinced of it. Friends, it's just like conspiracy. If you come up with a conspiracy theory, there's no way I can talk you out of it with reasoning. I can't do it. It's all based on reasoning, right? So you'd just be swapping some reasoning for other, right? But the word is not conspiracy theory or doubts. It's amen and amen. We don't have time for that nonsense. We don't have time for that junk. We have the perfect word of God. And we don't need anything else. Oh God, help us tonight. Help us. I know where I'm at tonight. This is where we need to be. You have to fill yourself with something. Fill it with the word. Fill it with, it is written, it is written, it is written. Satan will try to work on old habits. Satan will try to work on old ways of thinking. He'll take you down memory lane. Problem is, he dresses it up, makes it look pretty. It wasn't pretty when you were going through it. Satan will dwell on your complexes, imagined feelings. You know, your pastor, you can't approach him because he's so sure of himself and just so bold. It ain't me. That's the word. So you imagine that you can't approach the pastor. But those of you that have know that that's not true. Those of you that believe that, there's nothing I can say that'll change it because you're reasoning. I'm here to preach you into a rapture. Why would I want to beat you down? In fact, I'm doing my best to bring you up. So how could I be beating you down and bringing you up at the same time? Now your flesh is getting a spanking because your father loves you. And because he loves you, he chastises you, he chastens you, he rebukes you. And your response is, thank you, Lord. You zealously repent. Thank you, Lord, because if you hadn't have shown it to me, I'd have still been wrong. There are people that are here that have been here from the very beginning that want to hear the word. Now, I don't know who you are and who you aren't but I'm going to preach to you like you want to hear the word. But I worry about you if you drift away from church. I didn't toss you out. I'm trying to get you to come back. Because it could happen to any of us. We got to take that word and that word alone into battle. The greatest battle that was ever fought is going on right now. And the place of that battlefield is the human mind. God chose the heart. Satan chose the mind. So our minds must be equipped with the Word, which means hearing the Word. It means meditating on it day and night. It means calling upon Him in prayer and supplication. It means the Word being nigh you, even in your mouth. And as your pastor, I'm no match for reasoning. Whatever you want to convince yourself of, you can convince yourself of it. Conspiracy theories cannot be debunked with reasoning. Even when you prove things to people, they still don't believe it. There are people that don't believe we went to the moon. We got pictures of it. How'd we do that? Oh, well, it was all staged in Hollywood. Then why didn't the Russians tell on us? Oh, well, they're in on it too. Oh, it's that big of a conspiracy. That is the conspiracy of all conspiracies. Well, Brother Branham said they'll never make it. He also said that Luther would lead millions, Martin Luther would lead millions of them to their death. And then he was asked later on, was that thus saith the Lord? He says, of course not. He says, from my way of, from the way it looks. Well, he should be more responsible and not say things like that. You should get born again, have the Holy Spirit, and you'll know the difference. You'll know when you're hearing from God and when you're hearing from a man. Let's put you on the same basis. How do I know I'm hearing from God or I'm hearing from your reasoning? Because I recognize His voice. Hallelujah. When your husband gets sick and you immediately begin to fear and you immediately begin to think and imagine the worst, no amount of reasoning on my part is going to convince you otherwise. But the Word is something different entirely. If I can get you to accept what the Word has to say, the situation will change. It's the truth, it's the whole truth, and it's nothing but the truth. And only it, only the Word can prevail. And only the Word can set you free. But to receive the Word means letting go of the other senses that stand as guards to the entrance of the womb of your mind. Those things get in the way of you receiving faith. Maybe some of your memories, bad church memories, stand right there at the door. Well, I'm going to be careful. You got to let the Word in. So it means letting go of these other senses and not running them through the filter of those other senses. You either believe the Word by faith or you don't believe it at all. Without any proof. Those things only get in your way of receiving faith that only comes by hearing the Word. So if you take the Word in your mind and use reasoning with it, there's no life. And it won't produce anything. It's a dead letter. The Word must pass into your mind, unmolested, pure, unadulterated, just as other thoughts come into your mind. But what allows the Word to come in and take control is the faith sense that's governing in the soul. When we're not born again, the doubt sense gets in the way. Well, praise the Lord. So something in your soul says, amen. That's the truth. Your mind might say, now be careful. And the soul says, shut up. You've always got me in trouble. What good thing have you ever done for me? Taught me into going on that ride and I lost half my skin. Whatever it might be. You then allow that Word into your thinking without reasoning. Friends, I don't know why there's such a battle in my own church. I mean, this must be that this needed to be preached for a while now. Because I'm feeling a resistance. I'm feeling, it's devils. I bind every disbelieving, doubting devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let go. Let go, my brothers. Let go, my sisters. You're a liar. You're defeated. You're exposed. You have no place here. Tucson is a den of devils. But we're going to have church. When you receive that Word, believe it, confess that Word from a believing heart, you are literally creating a world. And you're walking in it. You are literally saying what's real and what isn't. And it's real because you say it is. You are living then in a world on your terms and not the enemy's terms. The enemy says you got an ache. You say, I'm healed. The enemy says you're sick. And you say, no, I'm well. And that's where the battle begins. He'll work on your flesh. He'll work on your reasoning. He'll work on your memories. He'll say, well, didn't you say that before? And he'll try everything in this realm. But down here it says, I ain't going there. Here's what the word says. It is written. It is written. Why do we reason? Because we're in the greatest battle ever fought. And the devil has chosen. Friends, when you get discouraged, depressed, want to quit church, it's up here, not down there. And it's because you're listening to this instead of the word. Well, hallelujah. Is there at least one person that could say tonight, I need to hear this? Okay, then the rest of you that are listening to the devil, quit listening to him. This isn't about you. You're not that important. Why would we try to beat you down? The whole thing is, why would we tell you? You never did it to begin with. Oh, he doesn't care about me. I want to go where there's love. This is love. This is the greatest love that there is. It's truth. And this truth will set you free. Be careful with that old lovey-dovey stuff. That'll lead you to blood moons and lots of other nonsense. This ain't a love boat. This is a house of correction. And it is God's love. Well, hallelujah. I might, Brother Jeremy, do you need another minister at your church? I might have to follow you home. I'm just teasing you. I know you want to hear it. But it's a battle. I'm doing a battle right now. So when you speak God's word by faith, you're creating a world on your terms, according to his word. And you're no longer on the enemy's terms. So I don't want to hear I'm a loser. You were a loser. Now you're a winner. Now the devil's a loser. And when we live below our privileges, it's not our enemy's fault. If the enemy's squatting on our land and we don't tell him to get off, whose fault is that? Oh, well, it gets messy. Of course it gets messy. Get off my land. Well, he might starve. Good. We need to have a scorched earth policy. You need to burn all the memories off your land. You need to burn off imaginations off your land. You need to burn memories, reasoning. You need to burn anything that the devil can feed on. Burn it off your land. And just grow the pure word of God. Then he has nothing to feed on. We feed the bear and then we wonder why we get attacked. Oh my. And then when you and I come together and are in agreement with the word, I don't care if you like this car or that car. I don't care. It doesn't matter. We don't have to agree on that. We don't have to agree whether berry pie or cherry pie is the best. Or whether KFC or Popeyes or whatever. Can I get an amen back there? But we do need to agree on the word. And if we can come together and agree on the word, absolutely nothing can stand before us. There's nothing. There's no devil. There's no condition. There's no demon. There's no complex. There's no sickness. I don't care what it is. Nothing can stand before us. So we're on to the devil. He's going to try to keep us separated. But we're going to say, devil, nice try, but it ain't going to work. We're not here for social activities. We're not here for a social club. We're here for the Word. And devil, this one's going to scorch your hide. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to sickness. And we're not taking a back seat to the world either. Everything we have need of is ours tonight. Including mental health, physical health, whatever our physical needs are. But to walk in it, we have to have that Word living in us and through us, which means we have to hear it and receive it. Hallelujah. Then nothing can stand in the way of the living Word as it's placed on human lips. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, He says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, either this is true or it's a lie. Amen? And if it's the truth, why aren't we standing on it? Only two of us have to. Instead of coming in with this baggage and bringing it in, then we want to blame this and blame that and blame the other. You know, well, I ain't coming because the sermons are too long. If you just feed on the Word, you'd lose track of time. There's a prophecy that says there'll come a time when you can't wait for those doors to open. When's that going to be? It's now for me. There's nothing I'd rather do. Friends, we had a three-hour service the other night in Ohio. But I didn't feel the devils fight me like I do tonight. Not you, the devils. The devil's trying to keep us from going forward. Amen. And I had people come to me afterwards saying, you know, you could have kept going. You could have kept going. I took a beating that night when I went to the hotel room. But I knew it wasn't boring. I knew that I had the people's attention. I knew there was a connection, and I knew people were hearing what they needed to hear. I have no idea what you need. It's a ministering gift. And if I try to control it and let people put handcuffs on it, it's of none effect. Okay, all right, we got you on a stopwatch. If you got somebody on a stopwatch, all you're thinking about is the clock. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. We're going higher and higher and higher. I'm actually flattered that the devil's given us such a hard time. Tried to burn us out. Amen. Tried all different kinds of things. But devil, you're done. I've read the back of the book. You lose, we win. How many can say amen to that tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see why agreement is so important and why communion is so important. That's why we had it on Sunday night, so that we wouldn't be battling funny feelings tonight. It's in order to maintain agreement. We need to stay off the enemy's grounds. That means don't enter in thoughts that don't come from the Word. Don't reason. Don't imagine. Don't even remember. Well, what should I do? Only what? Only what? Oh, it couldn't be that simple. Try it. Only believe what? Only believe what? Then why do we talk about so much other stuff? Oh, the president, no politics, and no this and that. Who cares? What does the Word say? Nothing can touch me. I'm actually holding back Satan's Eden. Well, you're pretty important, aren't you? You better believe I am. Yeah, because a portion of his life is in me. And as long as a portion of his life is here, Satan cannot have free reign. He wants to become incarnate, but as long as you're here, he can't. You're ruining Satan's Eden, by the way. Well, he ruined the first half of my life, so fair is fair. Praise the Lord. No lost love there. And when you accept the word and believe it and confess it, now it's time for you to stand. Unwavering. 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 What are we feeding ourselves on? Hope? Hope won't cut it. Hope is hoping for what faith already possesses. Reasoning says, well, I'll wait and see. You'll be waiting a long time. Because that's doubt. You're saying, I have to see it to believe it. Help me out here, friends. But faith rests on the divine promises of God, knowing that His promises can never fail. Time will try to discredit the promises of God. Circumstances will try to witness against the promise of God. But faith rests in the promise of God, and the power is in the promise. The power is not in you. The power is not in your thinking. The power is in the Word. If you can receive that pure, unadulterated Word into a believing heart, it'll do what it was set to do. Daniel prayed for understanding one day. And it was 21 days before his prayer was answered. I was going to read that, Daniel 10, verses 9 through 14, but you can read it later on as a homework assignment. Gabriel said, you know, for the very first moment that you prayed, I was sent. I was on my way. But the heavens are still contaminated. Satan and his angels are being cast down, but they're not cast down yet. So he's still an accuser of the brethren in heavenly places. He's still the prince of the power of the air. They are being cast down, but right now the heavens are still contaminated. So your help has to battle its way through demons. The least you can do is hold on till help comes. Because as long as you're believing, you're enabling that help to fight for you. But once you start to doubt, then you just took the weapon out of their hands. 21 days. 21 days. Well, I'll just read a portion of it. Fear not, Daniel, verse 12. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, he came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. I sought the Lord in high school for an understanding of His Word. I specifically wanted the book of Revelations to open up to me. It was 8 or 9 years later that my prayer was answered. I'd forgotten about it. But God heard my prayer. Friends, I don't care what you might be facing in your life tonight. And I don't mean I'm insensitive. That's just another tool of the devil. Oh, he doesn't care. Of course I do. I'm trying to help you. It doesn't matter how many times you've been prayed for something. It doesn't matter how many times you've asked for prayer. There's a time when we just need to take God at His Word. And then to stand in boldness of faith and declare it as a living reality of the living God. First we make our connection. And then let Him tell us who He is and who we are. You know, as Eve was once in Adam, and then Eve was taken out of Adam, placed in another body, and then she was brought to Adam. She had no idea who she was when she was born. So you and I were in the Word. We were in Christ. And we were taken from His side. And at our new birth, we were brought back to Him, Christ the Word. Eve, everything that she learned about herself, she learned from her head, from Adam. She never heard Adam say, you're no good, you're ugly, you're a failure, you're this, you're that. Everything he told her was the Word. Everything you and I learn about ourselves after we're born again of God comes from the Word. So why are we still listening to that stinking lying devil? Oh, I don't really want to be here. You do. Your flesh doesn't. Because your flesh is getting a licking. Let it take a beating. Amen. Let the soul get a little stronger. Then you'll realize, no, I really do want to be here. What would you rather be doing tonight? No, don't answer that. So when the devil comes and tells you, you know, you're a loser, you're probably not going to make it, just ask him, where's that written?
Right.
Chapter, verse, line.
Yeah.
Just, I don't need 10 quotes, just one.
Right.
Devil, where did Jesus say that I'm no good?
Right.
He didn't. But we've heard this for so long that we actually believe these lies.
Right. That's right.
Well, I'm just struggling with church and struggling with this, that, the other. Well, what are you listening to?
Right.
What are you believing?
Right.
Obviously, you're believing that you're a failure.
Right.
Right? But the Word never told you that.
Right.
Everything He's done is to take you up. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
The only thing He took from you is sin.
Yep.
Amen. And now He's giving you what you need to defeat your enemy.
Yes.
But we need to be in it, friends. It's, you know, I'd be happy if everybody came to every service, but even that's not enough. You got to be in the Word every day. In fact, I have a quote for you. If you are a message believer, Brother Branham said, a Christian reads his Bible and prays every day.
Amen.
He has to. That's a direct quote. He has to.
Amen. That's right.
Well, give me scripture for that. Okay, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Give us this day our weekly bread. Our monthly bread. Come on, friends. Look, if you're mad tonight, get over it. I'm trying to help you. Oh, I'm going to go where somebody loves me. Somebody that loves your flesh, maybe. Maybe wants your tithes. I don't even know whether you pay tithes or not. Isn't that wonderful? That's between you and him. But I am a watcher of your soul. And friends, there's a battle going on right now. It's a battle. Satan will get people on the sidelines criticizing. Why don't you get in the battle? You'll find out how hot and heavy this is. It's a battle. And we won't get out of this unscathed. We're going to get cut along the way. But the Lord is our strength. Somebody say praise the Lord. You realize when I talk the way I'm talking, I'm speaking to devils and not you. Because that ain't you. I mean, how could I preach it both ways? I can't. That's not you. But you're listening to a devil. And I can't convince you otherwise. All I can do is preach the word. And then it's up to you whether to accept it or not. I'd rather believe what the word says about me. It's impossible. Yeah, that's why I want to believe it. My God specializes in things that are impossible. Okay, assuming you're still with me. It doesn't matter how many times you've prayed for a certain thing or have asked for prayer. There's a time when we just need to take God at His word and stand in boldness of faith and declare it to be the truth. But the only way that's going to happen is if we're listening to what He says about us. You know, the people that go off on this, well, I'm sick of all this bride stuff. Well, it's because you don't believe it. Well, you're always talking about bride this and bride that. I'm not talking about it. He is. That's the living word of this hour. That's what the word is saying. It's marriage time. What do you talk about at a wedding anyway? Who does the bridegroom talk about? Well, I want to hear about Jesus. Jesus wants to talk about you. Oh. I want to talk about Him. He wants to talk about you. Yeah, that's a good title for a sermon, huh? Hallelujah. When the mind struggles through temptation and the lies of the devil, your defense is the Word. Amen. Let the Word speak for you. Amen. Change your habits. Amen. Stop the battle. Say, time out. Right. Okay, I will fight you, but time out. I'm taking off the instrument of reasoning. I'm taking off the spear of memory or whatever, you know, the other instruments might be. I'm getting rid of my conscience and my affections, and I'm putting all that aside. And I'm coming back with a secret weapon. I'm coming back with the Word. And I'm going to stand behind that Word. Satan will try to get you to talk, just like he tried to get Jesus to talk when he went on the way on his road to the cross. But he didn't. This will be fulfilled. Amen. Brother Brown says, she has thus saith the Lord, or she keeps her mouth shut. Amen. That means you're only speaking the Word. Yeah. She has His Word and knows what He wants done with it. This is on the road tonight.
Yes, sir.
Brother Jeremy, it's on the road tonight.
Amen.
Amen. It's in flesh.
Amen.
Let me tell you tonight, Brother John, your faith is greater than reasoning. Reasoning is no match. I don't care how conspiracy it is. I don't care how convincing it is. We never went to the moon. The earth is flat. You're stupid. Faith is greater than reasoning. Tell the enemy, it is written. It is written. Don't let them take you on any other grounds. Don't let them take you on, well, remember last time you got prayed for? Don't let them take you there. Don't let them take you down memory lane or feelings or complexes. Friends, you can come up higher. Well, Brother Baker, I'm stuck at a certain place. This is your night. Why are you here if you don't believe you can come up higher? Well, I don't really know. I do. Because God brought you here tonight to take you higher. Yeah, your mind says, well, I don't know about that. Your soul says, hey, I'm here, aren't I? Your faith is greater than reasoning. So tell your enemy, it is written. It is written. It is written. Take God at His Word. Declare everything else except God's Word to be a lie. But God's Word to be the truth. And friends, your love for the Word. People say, well, you know, I don't understand all this. I'm in love with the Word. Just let the Word fight a few battles for you. You'll earn an appreciation. You'll want to be more associated with that Word. It'll mean more and more as you see the battle being fought for you by the Word. You don't have to make this Word happen. You just got to stand on it. Then you can stand like Abraham and Sarah. Saying, I'm believing God's Word. Yeah. Amen. And 25 years later, say, I'm believing God's Word.
Sure.
You can stand like the three Hebrew children tonight.
Yeah.
Saying, God's Word says. God's Word says. God's Word says. You can say tonight, the Lord is more than able to fight my battle.
Amen.
The Lord is more than able. How many believes that tonight?
Yeah.
We need to testify.
Yeah.
Let's have a testimony meeting.
Yeah.
The Lord is more than able.
Yeah.
To deliver me from whatever besetting sin is in my life. Whatever stone wall that I'm running up against. You know what, devil? I got an attitude tonight. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. The Lord is more than able to deliver me. Satan, we're through. The Lord is more than able. And even if He doesn't deliver me, I'll not bow to you, devil. You had your chance. But devil, we're through. We're done. Amen. That part of me that you had control over doesn't exist. You have no part in me. I have no part in you. You're a worthy adversary. You're causing faith to be proven in my life. But you're only a tool in God's hand. You can't do anything to me that God hasn't allowed you to do. You've been put on boundaries. But I have no boundaries here tonight. My boundaries are the Word of God. And the Word of God stretches out everywhere you look. If I can get one person in this building to agree with me tonight, you're in trouble, devil. Just one. I don't need the whole church to agree. I just need one. Just one. If I can get one person to say, devil, I doubt you. God, I believe you. I agree with my sister. I agree with the Word of God that's in my brother. Devil, you're done. You must leave. You're defeated. You were defeated 2,000 years ago, but we're here to enforce Calvary's claims tonight. We're here to kick you out. If there's any sickness in the body, is there any sickness in the body tonight? Just raise your hand. Is anybody sick? I bind you, spirit of sickness. Can I have somebody, one person, Brother Jeremy, would you agree with me? I bind you, sickness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you to get off of that property. You're defeated. You're not going to be defeated. You already are. You must give way to the Word of God. This territory has been redeemed. This land belongs to us. And the Word says, I would that you would prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. Is there somebody that's discouraged tonight? This is not, I feel something in the building. If you're discouraged, just raise your hand. Amen. I doubt that tonight. It's not reality. I doubt that. It's very real. The symptoms are very real. But devil, you put a hedge around. You're working on mind. You're working on the spirit realm. I speak peace to you tonight. And that peace is not going to bounce back and come to me. But it's going to remain there. I bind you, devil. I command you to get off of God's property. This is our kingdom. If we wanted to be in the kingdom of the devil, we'd be out there in the world. We're not. This is God's territory. This is God's body, a portion of His body. This is His kingdom. Let what is done in heaven be done here on the earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. I say to you tonight, go and have a restful sleep. I say to you tonight, no more tossing and turning. Amen. I say to you tonight, peace be in your home. He's paid the price for it. It's your possession. Maybe you've been holding on to something since childhood. Maybe you've been beat down. Maybe you've had a complex forever. Let go of it tonight. Let go of it. It's giving you comfort along the way. You don't need it any longer. God loves you. You're the apple of His eye. He paid the price tonight. Friends, we could go around and lay hands on everybody. There's a place for that and all that. Let's just speak it tonight. And let's receive it. The power is in the promise. And it's living word that's going forth. That's why it has to come from a living vessel. And that's why it has to be a ministering gift sent from a mechanical device. Can't do this. It'll tell you the same thing every time. This is what you need tonight. He's heard your cry. He's heard your prayer. Complex, we're done. Hey friends, I've done this before. Let it break on you. We're done. We're through with that. God loves me. I am worth something. I'm not a failure. Things are not going to continue as they have. I'm taking my territory. I'm going to have peace, anxiety. I bind you in Jesus Christ's name. And I cast you out. And I command you to go back to the pits of hell where you came from. You spirit of lust, it's not in the hearts of these brothers to lust after a woman. They wouldn't be so beat up after that temptation comes. But that's a devil. Demon of lust, I bind you tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you to let God's people go. You've lied to these brothers. You've told them that that's their desire. It's not their desire. If they were to go to a land where a woman dressed decently, they wouldn't be battling these spirits. And they'd realize it's a demon. You have to get out of this to realize that it's a demon that gets on a woman that causes her to dress that way. It's a devil. We're in Satan's Eden. There's devils everywhere. All over the place. Amen. We went for a walk with the family here the other night, and this woman is coming by, and I can tell she doesn't want me to look at her. She's daring me to look at her. She's walking. She's got her earphones in, and she's got "get away from me" written all over her. And so I thought, you know what? It's a devil, and I knew that. And I'm picking that up, and I'm thinking, you know, I wish I wasn't made this way, but I am made this way. These vibes are just coming off big time. But she's like wanting me to know that she has a problem with people. And then my daughter-in-law tells me the obvious that I missed. I'm dealing in the spirit realm, right? She says, well, did you see her shirt? And I said, no. What did it say? It said something like, you know, I hate people, or get away from me, or don't even talk to me here. Oh, yeah, I was feeling so spiritual. And it's written right on her. Step away. But it was coming out of her pores. There's demons everywhere. We don't realize just how demon. It's seven times hotter. There's seven times more demons. 200,000 demons. 200 million demons released from the river Euphrates. Drove Israel back into her homeland. They're after us tonight. But I'm not scared. Though a host encamp about me, I will not fear. Though the enemy come in like a flood, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me, and He will fight my battles. He will not leave me holding the bag. I'm standing on His word, and it's Him that's on trial, but He specializes. When we give Him the opportunity to come on the scene, leave our reasoning aside and let the word come on the scene. Friends, let's take it up higher. Let's take it up higher. You need a revival tonight? You say, devil, get off of me. I'm going to have my revival. You got female trouble tonight? I feel for you. It's horrible. It affects your mind. There's nothing you can do in your mind, but I speak the word tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may healing come on my sister. Father, may you encamp about her. May you take her through this, Lord, as only you can. You believe that can happen? I believe it tonight, friends. There's not a thing in this building. There's not a problem that you have. There's not a situation that you're going through that He doesn't have an answer for you tonight. One of the reasons we come is to hear the word. The other reason is because of the faith bank that's in the building tonight. There's faith all over the building. Try that on your own. I'm not saying God won't answer your prayer on your own. He will. But there's more faith here tonight. There's an atmosphere here tonight. Demons cannot stand. Demons cannot remain. You're an overcomer. Stand your feet tonight. Hallelujah. How many want to take God at His word? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, I want to take You at Your word. Lord, I want to doubt all doubts. I want to take Your word, Your unfailing words of promise, and I want to stand on that and that alone. If that's your prayer, just repeat it after me. Oh God, I take You at Your word. Your word cannot fail. Your enemy is defeated. He's going about as a roaring lion. But You defeated him. You're the captain of my salvation. You're the great and mighty conqueror. You've defeated every devil. I take You at Your word. I'm standing on Your unfailing words of promise. Satan, back off. Gates of hell, back away. My faith in God's word tells you to leave. You have no power. You have no authority. You are defeated. Get out of my family's life. Get out of my house. Get out of my flesh. Quit whispering in my ear. When you come, I'm not listening. Or if I am listening, it's to quote the word back to you. And I know you can only take that for so long. I'll resist you by quoting the word, and you will flee. In Jesus' name, I claim these promises. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take him at his word. Let's let him come on the scene in Tucson. Let's let this church be a powerhouse. A place where people get delivered. A people come to recognize who they are. People are brought up higher. And the gates of hell are defeated. The enemy is cast down. How many says, I want to be part of that? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell your reasoning tonight, your imagination, you are not what's real. I doubt you. I'm going to take God at his word. Amen. Tell those night fears you have no place. Amen. If one will chase 1,000, two will chase. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hello.